Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
How's everybody doing? For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Edward Lane, so let me just introduce myself and my beautiful wife, who is just sitting there. She is beautiful, she is gorgeous, she's amazing. No, she hasn't told me to say that. I very much know that I'm batting well above my average, so thank you very much. And we've been a part of New Life now for some time, and we like to call it our family, our extended family. So if you're new to New Life and you haven't yet made this your family, hey, we would really welcome you into our family. And we've been going through this series called Risen, from Easter all the way up to Pentecost. And last week we had John Andrews here talking about hope. And for those of you who've met me, you'll know that I'm a Tottenham Hotspur supporter. So that really resonated with me, with hope. And then prior to that, we had Pastor Russ talking to us about Peter and his zeal, his zest, his all-in energy, his hotspur, he called it, for Jesus. And then prior to that, we had Mark. And Mark was speaking to us about doubting Thomas, albeit he had a particular take on it. For those of you who haven't seen it, maybe just have a look on that on YouTube. And Mark also shared with us something that Mark and I have in common. Mark Button. Mark and I, similar ages, grew up in the 80s, and we used to have a favorite show that we used to watch, a show which was called Button Moon. Anybody here remember Button Moon? Yeah, brilliant show. You're too young. Button Moon, show very much for kids. You come home, watch it. And Mark also shared with us that he had a particular nickname that came as a result of that. And his nickname was Dr. Spoon. Oh, sorry, no. Mr. Spoon, shall I say. Sorry, he's not quite a doctor yet. But, there he is. The beautiful Mr. Spoon. And I too, growing up, like Mark, had a nickname when I was growing up. There was a show, similar time when we grew up, and my name being Edward Lane, the show was Puddle Lane. Anybody remember Puddle Lane? Yeah, it's great, wasn't it? So like Mark, my nickname growing up was Puddle Lane. But it wasn't the only nickname that I had. Growing up, my mum, and maybe your mum was like this as well, she used to put my name on everything that I owned, a little label, Property of Edward Lane. So on my little He-Man lunchbox or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pencil case or Transformer rucksack was Property of Edward Lane. And on this one particular day, she bought me this coat, and I remember wearing it. And as I was queuing up to go into the classroom, the little label stuck out the back of it. Now, the problem was my mum couldn't fit the label properly onto the actual coat. So what she did with a big, thick, black pen was abbreviate my name. So she put E.Lane. And so this little kid who's watching me from behind went, Elaine! E.Lane, Elaine. So my nickname throughout school, growing up, was Elaine. So if you're watching Mum online, thank you very much. School was great. Now, speaking of my mum and my beautiful wife, we weren't here last week, but don't worry, we managed to catch up online. But the reason we weren't here last week was because went to visit my mum in the south of England. You may have noticed from my accent, I'm not from around here. Don't hold that against me. But we went to share in some news, to share with her a nickname that we've given to somebody. And that nickname is the name of Acorn. There's Acorn there. So for some of you, this might be the first time you're hearing this news. Thank you. Yeah. The good news is that I know some of you are wondering, both baby and myself are doing fine. So you can relax, okay? You can all relax, okay. But that's little Acorn. We will obviously go into prayer during this part of the service. But if some people at the end of the service, if you want to pray for us, you know, we would absolutely love that. You know, we're a Bible-believing church. We believe that God's blessing can be placed upon even those that are yet to be born. So, yeah, it would be great. The reason we went for Acorn as its name is because from little acorns, mighty oak trees will grow. You know, sometimes in life we all have labels. Labels that be put upon ourselves, labels that we self-impose upon ourselves, and labels that other people put upon us. Some of them empower us, and some of them disempower us. But there's a label upon which Jesus wants us to be known by, not just individually, but collectively. And that's the name of disciple. So, if we go to our Bibles, if you've got a paper copy, or if you're sort of New Age and you've got, yeah, I can see all your phones coming out. If we go to Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, I'm going to be reading from the Message Bible, but some of you will have different translations. And the words will come up on screen. So, to give you some context first around this. So, what's happened is, Jesus has died, buried, resurrected, and he's come back and spent time with his disciples. And he's gathered a meeting together. And we know that there's 11 disciples there, originally 12 minus Judas. And the Bible tells us that there's at least 500 people, if not more, at this meeting. So an important meeting that Jesus has given. And it's called the Great Commission. And the title of this sermon is called The Mission of the Commission. The Mission of the Commission. And it's called the Great Commission for a reason. There are five commissions within the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. But this one is called the Great Commission for a very specific reason, because Jesus gives the command, go and make disciples. Now, since Jesus has felt it important to gather so many people, why don't we have a look and see what Jesus has got to say to ourselves? Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized me and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life. Now, some other translations will say, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them, teach them, in the practice of all I have commanded you, and I will be with you as you do this day after day, right up to the end of the age. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you give us this responsibility. You commission us to go into the world with this responsibility until you come back again. Father, we ask that we have ears to hear, eyes to see you, and a heart to obey you. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, John Andrews last week, for those of you who are here and managed to see it, he shared with you, and it's pretty obvious if you spend any time with him, that John is a die-hard Liverpool fan. Okay? Now, it's also obvious, for those of you who spend any time with me, that I'm not just a die-hard Tottenham Hotspurs football club fan, I'm an eccentric die-hard Tottenham Hotspur football fan. Why? Because I'm a season ticket holder. Yeah. Yeah. So, on match days when Tottenham are playing at home, I will drive to Doncaster, park my car, get on the train, Doncaster to King's Cross, get off, take the Victoria line up to Seven Sisters, walk from Seven Sisters to White Hart Lane, obviously stopping off at the kebab shop, very important, and then I'll go through my entrance and I'll have a delegated seat that has been given to me via the club that is mine. I have the authority to take that seat. Now, if you've not been to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, it's a state-of-the-art, world-class stadium. And John Andrews said, you know, I'd love to go one day. I'd love to go and see it. Well, sat next to me is my friend, Graham. Graham is a season ticket holder. Graham has the authority to sit in that seat, delegated to him. And my friend Graham said, I can't come to a game. And that specific game just happened to be Tottenham versus Liverpool. So who do you think I invited along to that game? And there he is there. I tell you what, I look at Dawn. There's a great example of two men who are batting well above their average, isn't it? I'll tell you. Oh. But it's true. Bible says we can't lie. He's a good-looking man, but she's beautiful. She's very gorgeous. And we sat in the ground and we watched the game together. Through my relationship with my friend, he had the authority to sit in that seat. Now, my relationship with Graham. Graham just happens to have a neighbour who he met by chance whilst on the bus. And that neighbour just happens to be an ex-Tottenham player who just happens to be a club legend. And what that means is that on match days, he gets VIP hospitality, he gets to sit in a corporate box, and he gets to entertain guests such like. And on one particular day, my friend Graham turned around and he said to me, hey, David has invited us into this part of the ground. Would you like to come? To which I took about a millisecond to think about it and went, yes, please. And so we went down this entrance into a part of the ground which, you know, other people don't have access to. There's Sky commentators walking around, TV crew. There's players walking around with their wives and family. And so we got to hang out. You can see there's Seb Coe there. There's David Howes, the ex-player. And there's the box that's there. So through my relationship with Graham and his relationship with David and David's relationship with the club, we have authority to sit in those seats. Now, in a game of football, there are two opposing teams. John supports Liverpool. Right, bigger cheer, come on. I support Tottenham. Yay, thank you very much. One team is going one way, and the other team is going the other way. Both of them are clashing. Now, I don't know if you were like me, but growing up, I used to go down to the local field and would hang out and play a game of football. And we'd put our shirts on down like that, and that would be the goalposts, and somebody else would do it on the other side, and we'd all hang out and play football. And the rules were pretty simple. The rule was this. Whoever's ball it was decided the rules, because if they didn't like it, they picked the ball up and went home. And in a game of football, if you've ever seen it, you know, no matter what, you can watch this. The ball will go out of play, whether it's a throw-on or corner kick, goal kick. 22 men will put their hands up and say, that's ours. So, if you allow them to do whatever they want to do, there would be chaos. And so there's a third team on that field of play. And that third team is the team of the referees. Now, they are on the field, but they're not of the field. They are not swayed by popular opinion. In fact, very often, they are jeered and booed for the decisions they make. They don't show favoritism, and they don't show their allegiance. What they do is there to bring the authority from the governing body above, the Football Authority, the FA, to the field of play below. Their obedience is to the FA handbook, the book, not to what popular opinion is saying to them outside. Does that make sense? Yeah. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, have been given that authority as well. We are in the world, but not of the world. Very often, we will be booed for what we do, for our opinions. But our obedience isn't to what's going on around us. Our obedience is to what the book says. So since we've been given this authority, why don't we find out what it is that Jesus is asking for us? So if we turn to our Bibles again and we go to a second reading, which is Luke 14, verses 25 to 27. And the words should come up on the screen there. Now, Luke 14, verses 25 to 27. I've got 28 to 20 there, but 28, I think it is. One day, when a large group of people were walking along with him, Jesus turned and told them, "Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even one's own self, can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow me can't be my disciple." Now, this is a big, bold statement from Jesus. It's quite heavy. Some of you may have the word hate in your verses. Now, what Jesus is saying is by comparison. By comparison. So, for example, when Timmy and I got married, we got married on the day of the lockdown, the actual day, the very last day of the very first lockdown. And as a result of that, we were only able to have a little registry service. But it was very important to us to say our vows still to each other. So as we stood there, Timmy, she turned around and said, "I forsake all others for you." And Timmy turned around and said, "I forsake all others for you. I place you as the most important." Now, in a few months' time, Ellis and Beth Ann will be standing here, and Pastor Russ will be there as well. And they'll be standing there, gooey-eyed, looking at each other, and Pastor Russ will say the same thing. "Do you, Ellis, forsake all others for Beth Ann? And Beth Ann, do you forsake all others for Ellis?" And the answer, Ellis, should be
yes.
Yes, well done. Correct answer. And what Jesus is saying is that our love, our devotion, our discipleship should look like that. In fact, even more so. Like, whilst you place that person as being most important, I need to be put more important than that. Now, some of us, you know, me included, we have a favorite football team. Some of us, you know, if we don't have a favorite football team, we might have a favorite restaurant or a favorite show that we watch. But when it comes to talking about our favorite football team, Pastor Rush touched on this a few months ago, some of us are more passionate about talking about our favorite football team than we are when it comes to talking about our faith. We find it a lot easier. But Jesus is saying that our love, our devotion should look higher than that. Now, don't get me wrong, there are times and contexts and places where it's appropriate to do that and times when perhaps, you know, you want to be reserved. For example, John Andrews. Now, he calls himself a diehard Liverpool fan. Maybe not so if I give you this example. So, obviously, we're in the Tottenham end when we're watching the game. And Liverpool score. And under his breath, he goes, like that. And this guy sitting next to him says, "Hey, are you a Liverpool fan?" He says, "Yeah, yeah." He says, "Don't worry, you're fine here, don't worry." He's like, "Oh, I can relax." Now, that's one example. Let me give you another example. My wife, we went to the England versus Hungary football match. And this is at Wembley, 80-odd thousand fans. And she's very excited, first time that she's been to an international football match. And she turns around and she says, "Can I wear my Hungary shirt?" To which I say, no, that's not okay. And then she says, okay, well, surely I can cheer when Hungary score. Now, Hungary obviously improved a bit, but this is going back a little while, and Hungary were going for a bit of a rough patch. To which I went, "Yeah, that's all right, that's fine, yeah, go ahead." Now, at the football stadium, at Wembley, 80,000 fans, the national anthems play. And my wife, in the midst of 80,000 football fans, stands up. Hungarian supporters in one section, my wife over here, hand on her heart, tears rolling down her face. Now, I know we sang "God Save the King" yesterday, but that, nothing compared to my wife in that moment, right? Tears rolling down her face. She's all in. She's absolutely all in. And we sit down and we get chatting to people. I'm going, "Oh, it's my wife. She's Hungarian. I'm English, you know, blah, blah, blah." And the game's pretty boring. There's not much going on. until the end of the first half, towards the end. And suddenly it goes very quiet. And I'm thinking, hang on a sec, what's going on? And everybody's got their heads looking one way at the England goal, where Hungary are shooting. And somebody turns around and goes, oh, it's a penalty. To which I went, oh, it's a penalty, it's a penalty. And before I could say anything, my wife, in a sea of 80,000 football fans, stood up and standing there. And I'm thinking two things. One, Jordan Pickford, the England goalkeeper, please save it. And the second thing is, I've a miss. And before I can get the prayer out, all I hear in a corner of the section of the ground are Hungarian supporters cheering and my wife suddenly going, yeah! To which she got an enormous boo, jeer, whatever. Okay? I'm grabbing her and pulling her, sit down, sit down. She's going, oh, that was great, wasn't it? Oh, that's fantastic. What a game. I'm saying, yeah, it's a good game if you're in here, not outside, okay? But what Jesus is saying is that our devotion, our love should look like that. There should be moments where we should be all out. We should be cheering instead of being reserved. You know, Celia, stand up for us. Come on. Let's see you. Look at that. Oh. You are an all-in person. That's great. And that's how we should be sometimes in life, context dependent. You know, when I go to a football match, it's pretty obvious, and to some of you it's pretty obvious, what team you support. You'll be decked out in your colours, in your football shirt, everything. Some of you may even have face paint as well. It's pretty clear and obvious. And Jesus says that we are to be baptized like that. That we should be known not by what we say, but by what we do. That the outward appearance should reflect the inward appearance as well. Matthew 7. And so, some people say, you know, when little Acorn is born, you know, do you worry whether it's going to be a boy or a girl? I'm not bothered. I'm still going to deck it out in Tottenham colours. Don't worry about that. Even if it's a girl, why not? And why not? Because I want them to be a little me, a little representation of me. Well, the best parts of me, of course. But that's what a proud father does. And that's what our good Father in heaven is looking at us, wishing for us. He wants us to be like him. And the Bible says, you know, he created us in his image. He wants us to be like Jesus. And the Apostle Paul put it in 1 Corinthians. He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. As I draw closer to Jesus, so too you will draw closer to Jesus. And as we fall at his feet, we get taught by him. Can I have the band up? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. You know, some of us want to hear from God and hear what he's saying. Whereas some of us are more interested in telling other people what God has got to say to them. You know, if you want to hear what God's got to say to you, read your Bibles. If you want to hear the audible voice of God, either speak your Bible aloud or listen to an audible tape of the Bible. If you want to see God, if you want to meet him face to face, spend time with his people. See, the mission of the commission is to be in fellowship. As you draw close to Jesus, other people draw close to you and they come closer to Jesus. Now, as we move through this series, as we go from Easter to Pentecost, and Jesus is going to ascend back to the Father. And Jesus isn't here right now. He's at the right hand of the Father. But in his place, he gives us the Holy Spirit. And the same relationship that the disciples had with Jesus is now the same relationship you can have through his Holy Spirit. The same teachings that the disciples had from Jesus is the same teachings you now get and receive through the Holy Spirit. And as we move through the weeks, as we get closer to Pentecost, that's my prayer for you. My prayer for you is that you receive that and you understand that and it lives inside of you. Because the Bible says that we're now vessels for that Holy Spirit. So when we meet people, they get to see the face of Jesus through us. It says here in Matthew 28, meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Which one are you? Are you someone that sees him and worships him? Are you somebody that holds back, reserves? You know, for some of you, you're yet to become a Christian. If you've not become a Christian yet, then this is an opportunity for you to give your life to Jesus and become a follower of him. For others, you've given your life to Jesus. Well, this is a moment now for you to say, hey, I want to be more than that. I want to be known as your disciple. And so if we just want to stand for a moment, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. And maybe as you're standing there, just decide in yourselves. Just decide in yourselves what this means to you. Do I want to be someone in the crowd watching the game play by? Maybe I want to be on the field, but I want all the adoration for myself. Or do I want to be placed in the center, bringing order to chaos, in obedience to above and the book that's been given to my hand? So the words will come up on the screen here, and you can say them either aloud or in your heart. It doesn't matter. And maybe just place your heart, hand on your heart, and it goes like this. It says, Dear Jesus, thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you rose again to give me new life. I now give my life back to you. Please wash me. Please cleanse me. Set me on the right path and make me brand new again. Today and always, I want to be known as a follower of you. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and teach me to be a true disciple of yours. May your Spirit produce fruit in me and fruit in others. Living lives with victory over sin, focused on serving you, full of grace and compassion, known by our deeds and not just by our words. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.